Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska scientists are on the hunt for a new, more contagious strain of the coronavirus, and they're processing about 100 samples every 5 days at the Fairbanks Public Health Lab. Alaska Public Media reports that the new type of virus first found in Britain could spread as much as 50% faster, but doesn't appear to make people sicker. Identifying the specific mutation in the new virus is difficult, and unlike Britain, the U.S. lacks a large-scale genome sequencing program. Jamie Parker, a top official at the Fairbanks Lab, says they're being strategic about which virus samples they sequence.
We're looking to sequence specimens from as much of a diverse geographical region in the state as we can, so we can get an idea of what's happening all over the state as opposed to maybe just Fairbanks or Anchorage.
Dr. Tom Hennessy, an infectious disease epidemiologist with the University of Alaska Anchorage's College of Health, says it's unlikely the state will be able to keep the new COVID-19 strain from getting to Alaska and taking hold. Hennessy says that makes it more urgent to administer vaccine to healthcare workers and vulnerable Alaskans. The state announced 183 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday. The cases confirmed as of Sunday included 62 in Anchorage and 32 in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. At other interior locations, the Denali Borough and the Yukon-Koyukuk census area each had one new case. Three new non-resident cases were identified, including one in Fairbanks. There were three new COVID hospitalizations, with 79 confirmed or suspected virus patients hospitalized in Alaska. 9 patients were on ventilators. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board met in closed session last night to talk about renegotiating employee union contracts in light of students' impending return to classrooms amidst the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The Fairbanks Education Association and the Education Support Staff Association have asked the district to address transfer and reassignment policies and a range of sick leave issues related to COVID-19. The board agreed the district should negotiate, and Board President Tim Doran gave a brief public statement after the executive session.
We had a good discussion, and the board has been able to give direction to the district negotiator, Ivory McDaniel, and communications will be forthcoming very shortly.
Leaders of both FEA, which represents about 900 local teachers, and ESSA, which represents about 1,500 non-certified educators in the district, say they would like to have negotiations substantially complete before elementary school students begin to re-enter classrooms January 19th. Meeting last night, the Fairbanks City Council voted down a new contract for city staff represented by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, or IBEW. The group includes about 30 employees, ranging from the police and fire chiefs to city engineer and financial officer. Among provisions of the three-year contract are 1.5 to 3% salary increases and up to $1,500 annual bonuses solely based on any money not expended due to vacant positions. City Chief of Staff Mike Meeks said the bonus provision was negotiated into the IBEW contract to reflect increased workload because of unfilled positions.
There needs to be some form of sharing with IBEW to say thank you for doing all that extra work.
Council Member Valerie Therrien added that the bonus provision costs less than increasing the amount of annual salary hikes.
That increases each time, but a bonus doesn't. And so it's a cheaper way of showing our employees that we support them.
Therrien and Councilmember Shoshana Kuhn voted for the IBEW contract, while Aaron Gibson and newly elected members Lonnie Marney and Jim Clark voted against it. The trio specifically objected to the bonus provision. Marney said IBEW staffers do good work, but the bonus doesn't make sense given the pandemic slowed economy.
You've got a great bunch of people that work here. I just don't take it that this time of the year or what's going on is appropriate to give out bonuses when our taxpayers and our citizens are hurting.
Emphasizing how much work and time has already gone into the labor deal, Mayor Jim Matherly expressed displeasure with the vote.
Disappointed. Contract fails. Unbelievable.
The IBEW contract now returns to negotiation. Also last night, the council delayed action on a new police command unit labor contract. Mayor Matherly asked the council to postpone voting on the Public Safety Employees Association agreement until next month, so some remaining issues in it can be resolved. Last week, two small companies and a state corporation bid in the first ever Arctic National Wildlife Refuge oil and gas lease sale. About 500,000 acres of land was picked up mostly by the state. As Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon reports, the path to any actual development is far from certain.
Let's start with what's next for the state-owned Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, also called ADA. ADA entered the lease sale at the last minute as a backstop in case no one else showed up to secure the rights to the land in the Arctic Refuge's coastal plain. And it wound up as the most aggressive of just three bidders.
We're very happy that we're able to win some of the tracts in this case.
That's ADA's executive director, Alan Weitzner. ADA won 9 tracts of land in the coastal plain in northeast Alaska by offering the minimum amount the federal government would accept, just $25 an acre.
We would have preferred to see a more competitive bid in place, but I do think that there was a lot of uncertainty related to it.
Oil industry analysts have speculated for months that few companies would show up to the lease sale because of all of the risks and all of the opposition. ADA does not have drilling equipment, so it will likely have to partner with the industry at some point to explore for oil and to pump it out of the ground. As for when that might happen, Weitzner says,
it's too early to say and give that information of what our definitive plan is going forward.
Meanwhile, the two small companies that each picked up a single lease say they saw opportunity in entering the Arctic Refuge early. Mark Graber manages one of the companies, Knik Arms Services.
I'm an investor, and I go where I think a fair investment might offer a decent return for the risk, relative to the risk.
Like ADA, Knik Arms Services would also have to partner with the oil industry to do the actual drilling. As for the environmental and indigenous groups that oppose drilling for oil in the refuge, they say they are not giving up. Carlin Itchock, Alaska State Director for the Wilderness Society, says the goal now is to stop the Trump administration from making any more progress.
We are going to do everything in our power to prevent the leases from being issued before Inauguration Day, and we're going to do everything we can to prevent oil and gas development from ever happening on the coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge.
President-elect Joe Biden takes office January 20th. He says he opposes drilling in the refuge and will take immediate steps to protect the land. With help from reporter Nat Herz, I'm Tegan Hanlon in Anchorage.
A snow drought continues in Fairbanks. National Weather Service meteorologist Luke Culver says the last time Fairbanks had snowfall of an inch or more was back on November 15th.
Since then, it's generally been like a few times it's been half an inch or less, but really overall, I mean, only 5 inches since then total.
Culver says that's Fairbanks' fourth lowest November 16th to January 9th snowfall on record, with normal about 22 inches. He credits recent weeks' consistent pattern of southerly airflow.
Anytime we're in that pattern, it's a dry pattern because of the winds downsloping off the Alaska Range, kind of drying out the Fairbanks area.
Culver says the pattern currently looks like it will hang on for another week or two. Meanwhile, he says Fairbanks snowpack has diminished from 19 inches back in early November to 14 now due to melting and evaporation. On the season, Fairbanks has received 37 inches of snow, short of the normal 42 for this point. Last year at this time, Fairbanks had gotten just 36 inches, but made up for it with successive storms in late February and March. Nicholas Petit won his fourth straight Copper Basin 300 sled dog race yesterday. The Girdwood-based musher crossed the finish line in Glen Allen Monday afternoon, followed by Yor Olsom, Gunnar Johnson, and Matt Hall. 32 dog teams started the 300-mile loop race through the Copper River Basin region on Saturday. I'm Dan Bross.